the church, and don't let him know. He don't know no better. He thinks the Lord's going to build a church in Boonville. Don't tell him any different. All right, don't let him. He really thinks the Lord's going to establish something there, so you just, you know, don't discourage. Don't let him know how, you know, just pray for him, all right? 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Sometimes I get preaching in a big way or get all excited or get preaching. I want to just clarify this up front. I do not mean to come across as arrogant. Sometimes I may. I don't mean that at all. And I don't mean it now. But the Lord's laid something on me this morning to preach. And you better know how it is when He gives you something. There's knots in your stomach. Butterflies every which way. You're a nervous wreck. And but that's just the way it is. 2 Timothy chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing in kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. They shall turn away their ears from the truth, shall be turned into fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love His appearing. Paul here, no doubt, writing to Timothy. And if you will, I want to preach this morning a message entitled, The Man of God. The Man of God. I want to begin by saying I thank God for every man of God who has reproved and rebuked and exhorted me. It is the Word of God by the Spirit of God proclaimed by the man of God that has taught me how to be a godly husband and a godly daddy and a godly preacher. It is the preacher. I know it was in this book, but at one time I didn't have too much to do with this book. And it was the man of God that first brought it to my attention. The daddy I'm to be, and the husband I'm to be, and the man of God that I am to be. We're living in a day and time when, my friend, men are preaching to be prestigious, popular, and for a paycheck. That's the day we're living in. I want, if you would, this morning, I want us to look at the man of God. First of all, I want you to realize that he's a called man. Amen. My friend, it ain't like a GM factory where you just put them on the assembly line like most schools do and just send them through, give them a degree, and call them the man of God. No, the man of God, the true man of God, is a called man. He, my friend, has got a mandate from heaven to stand and proclaim the blessed word of God. He is indeed a called man. If you would, I want you to look over in Galatians for a moment, if you would. Galatians chapter 1, verse 15. Paul said here, but when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace to reveal His Son in me that I might preach Him among the heathen. Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Oh, said He separated me from my mother's womb, called me by His grace to reveal His Son in me that I might preach. Amen. Every God preacher here this afternoon or this morning knows about that calling and being separated unto God. My friend, the man of God He's a called man. If you've just decided to do it just because it looks good on the outside, you better go do something else, because this thing's a God calling. We've got too many already not need wallet watching, skirt chasing, Bermuda short wearing, cigarette sucking preachers already behind pulpits preaching. Done got too many already. Need some God called preachers that'll stand up and proclaim what God give them. I like God gives you one, you get it out of the oven, amen. You come up here when you're still hot and you deliver it, amen. I like hot food. I don't like cold french fries. I like hot french fries, amen. I like it when it's delivered. He's a called man. Let me use something else about the man of God. He's a clothed man. And if you will, I want to direct your attention over there to 1 Timothy chapter 3. What I mean by clothed, I mean he's qualified. Amen. He's clothed in some things. What's he clothed in? He's clothed in the Word of God. If you would look at 1 Timothy chapter 3, begin reading that in verse 1. This is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. Bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, nor striker, nor greedy, a filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, nor covetousness, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Amen. I said, not only is he a called man, but he's a clothed man. And he's clothed, my friend, in the scriptures of 1 Timothy and chapter 3. I ain't got time to go through all of them. Let's look at a few of them. So the husband of one wife. In other words, my friend, he ain't a divorced, remarried man preaching. Amen. Amen. He's a husband of one wife. I had a fella call me the other day. He said, Brother Addis, I'm going to come and present my work out of the church. And I didn't heard people talk. He said he did on his second wife. I said, well, brother, let me ask you something. I said, have you been married before? He said, yeah. I said, is she still alive? He said, yes, she's still alive. I said, then I can't have you. He said, I sure wish you guys would study that. I was thinking to myself, man, in kindergarten, one meant one. I didn't think it's changed any. Amen. The husband of one wife, it hadn't changed at all. Amen. Man's been married, my friend, and divorced or remarries. My friend, he is not qualified to preach this glorious gospel, to pastor one of the Lord's churches. Not qualified to pastor at all. Look at something else. We like to ride that one. It ought to be rode. Let me give you another one over here. Look at verse 4. One that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? One thing that turns me worse than anything is preachers with their little children. And they tell their daddy and mama to shut up. They can't make them up. Let me just. Kids ain't got no business jumping on the organs and on the pianos and everything else. Ain't got no business whatsoever. And if you're a God-called preacher, you need to put a stop to that now. It's a very bad testimony for a preacher, a man of God, who cannot control his children. It's bad. Look, if you would, over in Proverbs 20. Proverbs chapter 20, if you would, please. Proverbs chapter 20.
Amen.
Proverbs 20. Look, if you would, there at verse number 30. Well, the Bible said the blueness of a wound cleanseth away evil. So do stripes the inward parts of the belly. I'm not for child abuse. Sometimes, my friend, they need their rear end tanned. He said the blueness of that wound, he cleanseth away evil. Look at Proverbs chapter 19, verse 18. Listen to this one. Chasten thy son while there is hope.
Amen.
You better bust his rear end right now while you can.
Amen.
You better light her up right now while you can, while there's hope. Listen to this. And let not thy soul spare. Let not thy soul spare for his crying. It amazes me. It amazes me. I've never in my life seen a day in time when little 1, 2, and 3 year olds are smarter than mamas and daddies. I mean, they'll get them, you know, and just get on pop with a little old hand. Man, that wouldn't hurt a flea. And they'll just go to screaming. They'll stop. Oh, my friend, I'd wear him out. Amen. I'd light him up. Huh? He said, chase thou something while there's hope, and let not thy soul spare for his Christ. Look at chapter 23. Proverbs 23. Look at verse 13 and 14. Withhold not correction from the child. For if thou beatest him with a rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with a rod, and shalt deliver his soul from where? From hell. Amen. Look at chapter 13 of Proverbs. Chapter 13. Look at verse 24. He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. Look at chapter 29. Let me give you one more. It's Proverbs chapter 29, if you would please. Proverbs 29. Look at verse 15. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left himself bringeth his mother to shame. When the wicked are multiplied, transgression increaseth, but the righteous shall see their fall. Correct thy son. Listen to this. He shall give thee rest. I see mamas and daddies tore up and their hair pulled out, you know, and just like I've been on nerve pills. Bust his rear end. Get him in line. Get her in line. He said, correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. He shall give delight unto thy soul. Amen. Husband of one wife. If you're not, you're disqualified from pastoring. And if you don't have your children, my friend, under control, and the head of your household, you're also just as disqualified.
Amen. Amen.
Look at 1 Timothy chapter 3. Let me give you one more and we're going to move on. He's a called man, he's a clothed man, clothed in the scripture. Verse 2. A bishop then must be blameless. Let me stop there. Blameless. It's a shame. This fella up in Lexington, Kentucky, had him a little mistress on the side, and he divorced his wife, married his mistress, and he ain't missed a beat. Still pastoring, still preaching. Bible said that he's to be blameless. Don't know what blameless means? Means above reproach. That's what it means. Y'all hear me? Means above reproach. That's what it means. Now look in your Bibles over in Proverbs chapter 6. Let's see what the Bible says. Proverbs chapter 6. Look at verse 32 and 33. But whoso committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding. He that doeth it destroyeth his own soul. A wound and dishonor shall he get, and his reproach shall not be wiped away. A man that commits adultery, the Bible said his reproach shall not be wiped away. In other words, he's no longer blameless. No longer blameless. First thing you do when you get on this, and see, first thing folks say, take heed lest you fall. I agree completely. Let him that thinketh he standeth, take heed lest you fall. I agree completely. And I'm telling you, I know me good enough to know if I don't walk circumspectly, if God don't keep a hedge about me, it could happen to me before the sun sets today. I know that very well. More than anybody here, I know that as a matter of fact. Is it done? An individual commits adultery. Are they done? Are they done? It seemed like the text would say so. I mean, I've talked to older brethren I respect and I love. And I've heard them talk to say so-and-so committed adultery, stepped down, repented, you know, and was restored and placed back, and he's doing fine. So I don't know. I'm just going to be honest with you. I don't have all the answers, but from the text, it seems like he's done. Because the Bible said, a wound and dishonor shall he get, and his reproach shall not be wiped away.
What it
Seems like he's done according to the scripture. He's done. Now, should he step down? You bet your bottom dollar he ought to step down.
Amen.
That's not even debatable. Should he step down? I'm going to tell you something. The bar's been dropped, brethren. And I love you guys, and I love you fellas, and thank God. Y'all been a blessing to me. And God's laid this thing on me, and it's a burden. And I got to preach it. I don't want you to get mad at me. I don't want to step down preaching this today and you come up getting mad at me and upset with me. But bless God, it's the book.
Amen.
And it's right. Amen. There ain't no, the bar's been drawn. Fellas, if a man commits adultery, I ain't debating on if he'd be restored or not, or if he'd go back and do what he's doing or not do what he's doing. I ain't even going to go there. But if a man commits adultery, he needs to step down.
Amen.
He ought not stay in the pulpit.
Amen.
He's disqualified.
Amen.
I don't care who it is. I don't care who it is. That's what the... But we've dropped the ball. We've dropped it.
Yeah.
We want to... Hey, don't you get mad at church because the little teenage girls and boys are out having sex, a petting all over each other, and a sparking one another. We won't even take a stand behind the pulpit. How do we expect them to do right?
Amen.
You ought to step down. And if he don't step down, he's walking disorderly. I don't care who it is.
Amen.
If you don't step down, just walk in this. Look at your Bibles over in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Look at you one verse 6. We command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the tradition which you received of us. He said you withdraw your foot from every brother that walks disorderly. That's what he said. Over in verse 14 and 15. If any man obey not our word but this epistle, note that man have no company with him that he might be ashamed. Yet count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. Warn him as a brother. Should he step down? Sure he should. Well, preacher, you need to forgive now. I'm not talking about forgiving. I know that. That's the truth. I agree. But how are you going to restore something that ain't never took the rightful position, the rightful place? How are they ever going to be restored? Huh?
Amen, brother.
That's right.
If I had a Sunday school teacher, he committed adultery, you mark her down, he's stepping down.
That's right.
He's stepping down.
Right.
He's going to stay. He's not going to stay up there and keep teaching. He's going to step down.
Amen.
I'm telling you, fellas, the bar's been dropped. We've dropped the bar. We've dropped them around. And I'm going to tell you something else. Don't listen to your wife. A woman's an emotional creature. She's weak. And I'm telling you, she'll get you. If you're not careful, she'll get you to compromise everything within your being. I'm talking about your wife, weak. She'll get you to compromise everything. Well, I made friends on that one, didn't I? If you're not careful. But I'm telling you, we dropped the ball.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Huh?
That's right.
You tell me I can go out and commit adultery on my wife and I can stay behind the pulpit and you come preach for me and I can go preach for you. You're a compromiser.
Amen. That's right.
I'm sorry. It ain't right, folks. We dropped the bar. We've dropped the bar. We've dropped the bar.
Yeah.
We've dropped the ball. I'm telling you, we've dropped it. And I love y'all. Thank God for you, every one of you. Thank God for you. You've been a blessing to me and a help. God said, preach it, I'm going to preach it. Look, if you would, in your Bibles, look back over in Timothy again. If you would. He's a called man, he's a clothed man. He's clothed. I want you to notice something about this man of God. I want you to notice this message. It's a preaching message. It's a preaching message. Notice the content of his preaching. 2 Timothy 4:2, preach the word. Preach the word. My friend, it's the word. Psalm 119:89, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. He sticks with the book. Amen?
Amen.
It's a preaching message. And what's he preaching? Not his opinion, not what he thinks. He preaches this book.
Amen.
This old black book I hold in my hand has gone through trials severe.
And when the dust from these trials die down, the old black book will still be here. Professors, false prophets, infidels, and snakes have tried to put doubt on its worth, but God, through the Holy Spirit, still uses it in the new birth. This old black book, they tell me, it's gone. It's no good. It's defeated. But my friend, it's the Word of God.
Amen.
It is the inspired, infallible Word of God. The man of God, his message, it's a preaching message. The content of his preaching, he preaches the Word. The character of his preaching, 2 Timothy 4:2, be instant in season and out of season. Be always ready to give a reason of the hope that's in you.
Amen.
Titus come up, dropped her in my lap, said, can you preach first? I thought, yes, sir, that's what you want me to do. I'm a preaching first. Amen. Didn't know for sure I was going to. Done everything I could to try to get out of it, didn't I? I showed in. I said, man, get somebody. She ain't going to hurt my foot. Three different times I told him. After that, the Holy Ghost got on me and said, you can be quiet. I said, I'll be quiet. He wants me to preach. I'm preaching now. Well, the character of his preaching, be instant. The courage of his preaching. The courage. Bible said in 2 Timothy 4:2, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove and rebuke. That is, my friend, the courage of his preaching. He exposes sin. We get to the place we can't expose sin. Step down. Go make an honest living.
Amen.
Go sell cars. Go sell insurance.
Amen.
When you cannot expose sin.
Right.
My friend, we're living in the bed. I preach some revivals. And host some revivals. And the preacher's family ain't even there. They go to the ball game for the school kids.
Yeah.
Ain't even there for the revival meeting. I mean, my friend, we're in a mess.
Right.
We're in a mess that needs to be taken care of. Courage of his preaching. He exposes sin, not only that, but he encourages the saint. He said, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. I tell you about the preacher. He should comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable. Amen. That's what the preacher ought to do. His message. We see it's a preaching message. That's the content of his preaching. The character of his preaching. The courage of his preaching. And then, my friend, the charity in his preaching. Ephesians 4:15, speaking the truth in love.
Amen.
Speaking the truth. A lot of folks sit up there, we've been brainwashed. Some folks sit out there now, they say, Brother Adams is mean, he ain't got no love, and he ain't right. But I'll tell you what it is, this is love preaching.
Amen.
This is right preaching.
Amen,
it is love, telling the truth and speaking the truth in love. I'm not saying, my friend, stomp somebody when they're down. I'm not saying, my friend, do away with them and never shake their hand, never take them in consideration. But my friend, it's there in the Word of God what we're to do. His message. Notice secondly, his mission. His mission. He's the watchman.
Amen.
He is the watchman.
Right.
Preacher, you ever failed as the watchman? Miserably. Miserably. Many times I've been asleep when the enemies went across. Miserably. I still think about it. It still smokes my heart. But my friend, he's the watchman. He watches. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 5, he said, but watch thou in all things. He watches. What does he watch? Look at 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16 will tell you what he watches. 1 Timothy 4:16, he watches first of all himself. He said, take heed unto thyself and into the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself. I tell you what he watches. He watches himself. But not only does he watch himself, but he watches the sheep. Finish reading there. And them that hear thee. So he watches. He watches himself and he watches the sheep. My friend is missing. He's the watchman. Well, God help us to be the watchman. Amen. God help us to be true to God no matter what. Be true to God. Paul said over Galatians chapter 1, I believe it is in verse 10. He said, for do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. More than anything, I want to be the servant of Christ. Don't you? More than anything, I want to be the watchman of the night. And watch, and watch, and watch. Not only does he watch, but he works. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 5. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. My friend, I'll tell you what he does. He works. He works. He does the work of an evangelist. My friend, he ain't ashamed to proclaim the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Brother Grigsby, not just behind the pulpit, but down at the convenience store and down everywhere else you go, telling folks about the Lord Jesus Christ. He witnesses. What did Agrippa say? Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian, Paul. What did old Felix say at a more convenient season? I'll call for you. What'd Paul do? He was a witness. He was a witness. Look over at Acts 17 for a moment. This verse always smotes me. Always smotes me. Acts chapter 17 and verse 16. Acts 17 verse 16. Now while Paul waited for them at Athens. You know what Athens was? The center of culture. The center of education. The center of arts. I want you to realize, if that had been me, I'd have been out south sightseeing, looking around, seeing what I could see, enjoying what I could enjoy. Look at Paul. While Paul waited for them in Athens, what was it? His spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to what? To idolatry. Paul was eat up with it. Eat up with glorifying God. Eat up with souls being saved. He was eat up with the ministry. That was his life. He said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. He said, the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me.
Amen.
Oh, his message, his mission. Notice his mark, and I'll be done. His mark. Philippians 2:7 talks about Christ. Said he made himself of no reputation. Huh? A lot of preachers, that's what they're out to get, a reputation. God help us. Amen. Notice his mark. He's a fighter. I didn't say he was a brawler. I said he's a fighter. He's a fighter. 2 Timothy 4:7, what'd Paul say? He said, I fought a good fight. Huh? He's a fighter. Amen. I fought a good fight. And it's a spiritual warfare. Ephesians 6:12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. He's a fighter. Not only is he a fighter, but he's a finisher. Bible said over in 2 Timothy 4:7, not only did he say, I fought a good fight, he said, I finished my course.
Yeah.
Huh? I want to finish. Amen. I want to reach it to the finish line. Amen. I want to finish the course that he has before me. I don't want to be a quitter or have to quit. Amen. I want to finish the course that I've been placed on. Look at Hebrews chapter 12. Wonderful encouragement here. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews 12 verse number 1. Hebrews chapter 12 verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses.
Amen.
My friend, I want you to realize this. They're not in heaven witnessing what we're doing as a spectator would witness. But my friend, what they're doing, they're bearing witness to us that God can see us through. Whatever you're going through, whatever trouble may come about you, my friend, they're there bearing witness that, hey, I made it through. He was faithful to me to the end. And I'm on the other side with the saints of God, glorifying Him. I'm telling you, my friend, He is a finisher. My friend, He's a fighter. He's a finisher. Not only that, He's faithful. Look at verse 7. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. Listen to this. He said, I've kept the faith. He's faithful. He said, I've kept it. Anything I want to do, I want to stay true to this book.
Amen. Amen.
I love you, brethren. Man, I think you don't even know what you mean to me. Thank God for you. But my friend, more than anything, I got to be faithful to Him.
Amen.
More than anything in this world, I must be faithful to the Word of God.
Amen, brother.
Mother, I have to be faithful to this book. He's the one that saved me and redeemed me. He's the one that called me. He's the one that gave me my mandate. And I must be faithful. 1 Corinthians 4:2, moreover, it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. I want you to notice he's a fighter. He's a finisher. And he's faithful. I'll tell you something else. In the end, he'll be found victorious.
Amen.
Found victorious. Look at verse 8. Paul said, henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. The man of God. Ain't nobody like him. Amen. I'll tell you, Brother Hancock up there preaching. I'm just going to be on what scares me. He's up there preaching, gets doing that old chapter, talking about going to heaven. I'm thinking, man, God's fit to take him out of here. He's fit to go. I'm telling you, Brother Titus got up here last year and got up here and rebuked some folk in the cafeteria because he didn't think they was dressed right. I'm telling you, I cut my hair. If it wasn't my first time and I didn't think y'all thought I was too retarded, I cut my hair jumping down that aisle and hugging his neck. The man of God. I love him. Amen.
Amen.
I love the man of God. Amen. I love him. He's my hero. Amen. He's better than anybody on the world wrestling tour. Amen.
Amen.
The man of God. My friend, he's better than Joe Montana ever thought about being. Amen. I'm talking about the man of God. Amen. He's better than Tom Cruise or anybody else. Amen. I'm talking about the man of God. He's my hero. I love him. Thank God for him. Amen. He's a blessing to me. He's a blessing to my wife. He's a blessing to my children. He's a blessing to my family. I'm talking about who? I'm talking about the man of God. Thank God for him. My friend, if the average preacher was a mosquito, he wouldn't have enough guts to make a splat on a windshield. God help us. Amen. The man of God. The man of God. The man of God. Oh, John Gill talked about preaching. John Gill, the theologian, the Baptist theologian, said preaching is done in a loud voice. Born out of Scripture. Man of God.
Amen.
Man of God.
Amen.
Man, pray for him.
Amen.
Lift him up. Hug his neck. Take some money out of your wallet. Give him some hamburger money. Amen. If you ain't a preacher, you ain't got no idea what the preacher goes through.
Right.
You see sitting here and you see the fame, but you don't see the burden on his heart. You don't see, you said, man, he comes, got a motel paid for you. Yeah, it's nice, but half the time he ain't sleeping in because he's struggling about what he's going to preach on. Amen?
Amen.
And burdened and struggling and praying. And the pastor has a meeting, my friend. My friend, don't spend hardly no time sleeping or laying in bed looking at the ceiling. Amen? Trying to get the mind of God on who to preach. The man of God. May God bless you.